Parsha Shlach, Vaydaber Hashem El Moshe Lamer. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Shlach Lecha Anoshim, send for yourself men, V'yosuru Ezeret Kenan, Asher Ani Noitzein Levnei Yisrael, and they should spy out the land of Canaan that I am giving to the Bnei Yisrael. The Ramban wonders what was wrong with sending Meraglim. Moshe Rabbeinu himself later on sent Meraglim to spy out the cities of the province of Yazer. Yeshua, this week's Haftira, he sent Meraglim and nothing happened. There was no tefi on Yeshua, no tefi on Moshe Rabbeinu later on, no problems with Klal Yisrael, especially since Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Devarim says about this Maisa, Vayita Veinei Hadavar. This was good in my eyes. Moshe Rabbeinu was masking to this. So what happened? Where did it go wrong? So the Ramban says that Be'ikr, Moshe Rabbeinu sent Meraglim to know how to conquer over it. And that's the derech. When a foreign country is about to overtake another country, they send in spies to see the best ways to enter, the best ways to be able to conquer over it. That was a normal thing. And the Ramban is Moisif, that it's Yitochen, that Hayyais Moshe Rabbeinu knew that the land is beautiful, the land is so wonderful. So he told the Meraglim to look over some of the finer, good aspects of the land, not because he didn't trust it, but it would give Klal Yisrael chizuk, oh, it's a beautiful land, and if they would say, it would give them tremendous chizuk. The problem is that the Meraglim, they mishandled their shlichus, they abused their shlichus, and they brought calamity on Klal Yisrael. But the etzem of the shlichus itself, it wasn't a bad thing. Moshe Rabbeinu's intention was, like he did later on by Yazir, like what Yeshua did, to see the best way to enter. And even though Hashem was helping them, but ain same chenalanes, you want to know the best way? Be derech hateva to be able to do it. This was mishandled by the Meraglim. The altar of Kel, he says, that the Iker Chait that happened over here was the Indian of Pzizus, haste, Behola. They acted in turmoil. The way Moshe Rabbeinu himself said in Parshas Dvorim, V'atikruvun Eli Kulchem, you all came together. Rashi says, B'revuvya, in a mixture. The youngsters were pushing away the Zakanim. They couldn't get there quickly enough to come scream to Moshe, send us Meraglim, send us Meraglim. Why'd that happen? Because they were so afraid. Instead of relying on Moshe Rabbeinu and send a clear-cut message how to enter Eretz Yisrael and how to conquer it, they were in such a turmoil. We have to know right now. We have to know exactly what's with the land. How is it? What's going to be with the river? They were all to tumble. Because of that, the Sultan was misgaber, and he was goyrim that there should be a taiva for COVID involved. A lot of times that gets in the way. COVID can get in the way, and the Meraglim themselves, Yeshayimim, was their own COVID that they were worried about. The Zohar HaKadosh says that they thought, perhaps mistakenly, that when they enter Eretz Yisrael, they're going to lose their stature as the Nesiim, and others will be appointed in their place, or whatever it was. They acted with a lack of menuchas and nefesh, with a lack of trust in Moshe Rabbeinu. That was a mokim for the sultan to be able to work his ways. You see from over here how important it is for a person to live with menuchas and nefesh. Menuchas and nefesh, peace of mind, to be settled and calm, and not to go into a turmoil, and not to be impetuous, and not to rush into things. What a gewaltig mile it is, and what a tremendous chesaron it is, if we don't have that. That's something that takes a lot of work. In Kelm, Yeshiva in Kelm, they used to work on that keseder. How does it come about? It comes about if you have bitachon in Hashem, if you believe in Hashem, and Hashem is your father, and Hashem is guiding you, like a little baby that is in his mother's arms. It has all... There's no shiloh by the baby. It feels comfortable, feels warm in the mother's arms. That is the way a person has to develop his relationship with Hashem. That Hashem is taking care of him, and Hashem knows what's best for him. But over here, they fell into such a turmoil, that caused the lack of Menuchas HaNefesh, and Mimela there was a makom for the Satan to be able to do his tricks. Now, I saw brought down in a sefer that when we write somebody's name, we write afterwards, Neira Yoyer, his candle should be lit. What does that mean? What is that bracha of Neira Yoyer? There's no greater importance of a bracha to a person than he has a clear light in front of him. His das is clear. It is settled. It's Menuchas HaNefesh. There is no greater tainug than that, to live through life with Menuchas HaNefesh. That's Neira Yoyer. Now, over here, the Bnei Yisrael, they panic. And they lost that Behirus. They lost that Menuchas HaNefesh. And that is where they went wrong. Rav Dan Segel was Shlita. Dan Segel said over that he heard from his Rebbe, Shmuel Rozovsky, a certain Hargosha, the godless of the Balei HaTosfos. We have a Kabbalah that the Balei HaTosfos, they wrote big Tosfos in Perek Merubin Bava Kama, massive Tosfos. Those Tosfos were written during the times of the Crusades, a few days before they knew that the Crusaders were marching through their areas and they were killing Yidden, and they had the Menuchas HaNefesh to be able to sit and write those Tosfos. Those Tosfos are not only big in the amount of content, but in their depth. Vegas, they were Bnei Yeshua's with Tosfos, with Nesivos, and all kinds of Mepharshim. Well, how in the world is it possible if in a few days the Crusaders are marching through their town, and here they have the Menuchas HaNefesh to learn with the greatest of Am, because how in the world is that possible? The answer is they were totally reliant on Hashem. Whatever Hashem wants, that is the best thing for us. And they were so reliant that they had them by us. We have one little thing on our mind, we go crazy. One little thing that's bothering us, oh, what's going to be with this, what's going to happen? And to sit down and learn with this on our minds, it's upgraded, garnished. But they had that Menuchas HaNefesh. They were able to record these Tosfos in their full content with their full amkis. That is a tremendous godless in Menuchas HaNefesh. It says, Shlach lecho anoshim, send for yourself, men. Zok Rashi. Shlach lecho ledaitcha. Ani eini mitzav lecho. I am not commanding you to do it. Im tirtz, if you want, shlach. If you want, you could send. The question is, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to send, so why did Moshe Rabbeinu say he had to send? Hashem is not sending. Obviously, there's a good reason for it. So how does Moshe Rabbeinu go and he has sent? And there was no tzivi on it. Heilige Satmar Rebbe to Divrei Yoyo, Zeichet Tzadik v'Kodesh Levrach, he says like this. Moshe Rabbeinu understood that the Meraglim are going to encounter a big Nisoyan. They're sleepless. To go to Eretz Yisrael and to spy out Eretz Yisrael and to prepare for taking over Eretz Yisrael, there's nothing that the Sultan would want less than that. He does not want the Yidden to enter Eretz Yisrael. He realized, look at all the troubles we're having in Eretz Yisrael today, with the government and with all the advanced technology and with all the advanced weaponry, and there's still who knows how many problems. The Sultan does not want Klal Yisrael to settle in Eretz Yisrael, because the Avodah in Eretz Yisrael is the ultimate Mitoch Kedusha. We took a special Vekas to Hashem. So Moshe Rabbeinu understood that they're going to face Nisyonis, there's no question about it. Moshe Rabbeinu thought, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands them to go to send Meraglim, then it's a mitzvah, and it's a tzivu from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we know that whatever there's a mitzvah, the Satan has a greater kayak in stopping us from doing that mitzvah. That's why Chazal say, Mesechtes Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Aleph, Godel HaMitzvah V'Oiseh, Mesheina Mitzvah V'Oiseh. Someone that's mitzvah, he's commanded to do a mitzvah, and there's another person that's not. The one that's mitzvah v'oisa has a greater schar. Why is that? Because when you have a chiv to do something, the Yetzer Hara works harder against it. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hashem didn't command it, because then it would be a mitzvah, it would be a tzivui. And then the Yetzer Hara, the Satan, would have a tremendous kayak. But if I tell them to go, it's an Yetzer Tov to spy out the land, that's not a mitzvah. On a mitzvah, the Yetzirah won't have such a shlita, and the Satan won't have such a kayak. Apidis Mahalav, the Satmar Rebbe explains, it was a minig, the Yisrael, for many years, Many as it was a minigin Yisrael, if a rav from a different city was visiting a city where there was a different rav, they'd be mechabed him to speak, and he would give a drasha, I mean, all things. The question is, well, why have such a minig? I mean, this city has a fully competent rav that's a Talmud Chacham. Why the necessity to ask a rav from a different city to speak? Satmar Rebbe says beautifully. He says, the rav of this town that lives here has a chiv to be mindful of his community. And they have a chiv to listen to him. So then the Eitz Ahara gets involved, and then the Eitz Ahara tries stopping him from doing his job as a rav and stopping them from listening to him. But a rav from a foreign town, he doesn't have a chiv to be mindful of this town. Secondly, they don't really have a commitment to listen to him. So there is no Eitz Ahara. So there, the rav could be poil the most, because that way the people will listen to him the most. So he's up to Heilige Satmar Rebbe. By Yikra Moshe lo Hishaya ben Nun Yahushua. And Moshe called Hishaya ben Nun Yahushua. Rashi says he davened on his behalf. Ko Yahushiyacha me'atzas meraglim. May Hashem save you from the Eitzah of the meraglim, from the plot of the meraglim. The Chofetz Chaim asks a question. First of all, why do you find the Moshe Rabbeinu only davened for Yeshua? He didn't daven for Kolev. Be'idach Giza, you see that later on Kolev went to the Ma'aris HaMachpelah in Chevron to daven that he shouldn't fall prey to the Eitz of the Meraglim, yet Yeshua didn't. What's the chilek? Yeshua was eichet to the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu, Kolev not. Kolev went on his own to daven, and Yeshua not. What's the pshat? The Chofetz Chaim says a beautiful pshat. Chofetz Chaim says there's two types of Oivdei Hashem. There's the Oivdei Hashem that is with a bren, mamish, out in the open, you see his eslahavus. He is not shy to state his opinion when he's a kanoi. He speaks out against any chilul Hashem. He states his opinion. You see him out in the open. There's another kind of an Oivdei Hashem that is more introspective. He's more quiet. He is silent. Doesn't state his opinion in public. His avoda comes mostly belayf. There's a ma'ila and a chesaron to each one. The one that's a kanoi and the one that's, you know, with a hislahavas and a bren and he states his opinion, if he's in a rabbim where most people are not like him and most people go against the word of Hashem, he's not going to get cooled off so quickly because he has that hislahavas, he has that bren to keep him going. But there is a chesaron, though, because the Yais people know exactly where he stands. They could plot against him. The other kind of an Oivid Hashem, who's more introspective and he's more quiet, and he doesn't outrightly show what he holds, he has a chesaron, because if he's in a rabbim, where they're not, you know, b'nei Torah, and they don't have the right hashkavas, he can get slept in with them. And he doesn't have that brand and his lahavas to keep himself away from them. He can get cooled off easily. On the other hand, there's a Maila that if he doesn't hold like them, they can't plot against him. So that's the pshat over here. Yeshua was the type A, the one that served Hashem with the bren, the one that spoke out clearly what he says. So Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid, hey, Yais, the Meraglim would know clearly where he stands, they would plot against him. On the other hand, he had a Maila. He wasn't going to get cooled off. So he didn't have to go down by the Maris HaMachpelah, please Hashem, the schus of the Avos HaKadoshim helped me not be, you know, trapped into their plot. Kolev, on the other hand, he had the Maila that they didn't know where he stood. And that's why later on when Kolev got up to speak and to quiet down everybody against, you know, they were speaking against Moshe, the Meraglim let him speak because they thought he was on their side. But he had that concern because he didn't have that outer Hislavas. He felt himself getting pulled into the Eitz of the Meraglim, so he had to go and daven by the Kivrei Yovis. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have to give him a bracha, because Moshe Rabbeinu knew they wouldn't plot against him. They wouldn't know where he stood. On the other hand, he himself had to be mispalled by the Maris HaMachpelah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should prevent him from being swayed by the Eitz of the Meraglim. Stipler, Zeichet Tzadik V'Kodesh Levracha, used to bemoan the fact that nowadays we don't have Magidim the way they had in the olden days. In the olden days they had Magidim that went from town to town. Of course they did it. They collected money for themselves or for whatever tzairik it was, but they used to say drashas. They used to say krush with musr, and people used to come and listen to them. Nowadays, we don't have that. You know, you had one magid, Roshan Shadron, a second magid, Yaakov Galinsky, but it was a rarity. You didn't have magidim like you had with that frequency that you had in the olden days. So the stipler said he remembers he was a little boy, and his mother sent him, there was a magid darshaning in a shul. His mother told him, go to shul and listen to the drasha. He says he remembers the opening part of the magid. It says, Lamata Yosef, Lamata Menashe, Gadi ben Susi. Shevet Yosef, the chelik of Menashe, one representing was Gadi ben Susi. This magid, taiched up as a. Lamata, a person should know that his neshama starts up in Shemaim and is sent down here. Yosef, and you have to add to this world. You have to be Yosef to this world with Inyanim of Kiddusha, Teira, Tfilag, Milos Chasadim. Over Lamata, if this person is sent down here, Menashe, he forgets what his Tachlis is. Word Menashe, Kinashani, Elakim, is Kol Amoli, Hashem made me forget. Lamata, if he's sent down here, Menashe, he forgets what his Tachlis is. Gadi, tell me now, isn't he Ben Susi? Isn't he like a horse? What's he better than a horse? A horse eats, a horse sleeps, a horse performs physical chores. No shaykhs to ruchnius. If you don't realize that you have a tachlis here, the matzah, that down here yosef, you don't realize your purpose is to add to life down here, to add to the ruchnius, to add to kveit shamayim, then Gadi, tell me now, from Lashon of Haggadah, tell me now, isn't he Ben Susi? Isn't he just a horse? A physical creature, he's not doing anything with it. At the end of the parasha, we lay in the parasha of Tzitzis, the third parasha of Kriya Shema. It says over there, V'loiso suru achrei levavchem v'achrei neichem. You should not go after your hearts and your eyes. Lashon of Sasuru is a lashon of spies. Rashi says, Shaleva einayim, the heart and the eyes, heim miraglim luguf, they're like the spies of the body. They are the middlemen to bring him the Averis. Ayin Raya, the eye sees. Bahalev Chaymed, and the heart desires. Bahakuf Oises Averis, and the Guf does the Averis. The Sefri Zut Darshan, Loy Sasuru, Achre Levavchem, do not let your heart be your spy to get you into Averis. We're talking about spies over here towards the end of the parasha. Sounds like it's just a coincidence. You know, the beginning of the parasha spoke about Meraglim. And now here in Kriya Shema, we also speak about Meraglim. There's no kesher, there is no connection between the spies of the beginning of the parasha that Moshe sent and these spies over here. Over the Chevron or Shishiva, going to Becheskel Sarna, he makes a meridic connection between the two. As we find two stories of Meraglim this week. One is in the Sedra, the parasha, and one is in the Haftarah. And if you look into these two incidents of Meraglim, there is a fascinating difference between the two. A stark difference between the two. The Meraglim that Moshe Rabbeinu sent spied the entire land. Mishalom, Mishalva, nobody bothered them. Nobody stared them, no nothing. They went the length and the width of the land in 40 days. They even cut down this big, gigantic cluster of grapes that was Mishunah in its weight. Needed four people to carry it, right? They carried it throughout all of Eretz Yisrael, and nobody bothered them. And everything was peaceful. I rather saw a very interesting thing brought down in the Alkamam Loyes, that when the Meraglim went into Hebron, they took five figs, and they took a pomegranate, and they also took this big cluster of grapes. And the giants, Sheisha, Achimai, Sheisha, Vitalmai, the Bnei Anak, they were in the vicinity and they saw them. And one of them gave this loud scream and the Meraglim fainted from pachad. So the giants came over to them. They started breathing on them to resuscitate them. And they woke them up. And then, Amish, fascinating, the giants told them, why did you come here to spy the land? Your God already promised it to Avram, your father. He promised to give it to your nation. So you don't trust your God, you have to spy it out. In the schar that they said that, they had arichas yomim, They lived all the way till Bayesheni, about another 1,330 years. Halfway was selling. But anyway, the Meraglim went through peacefully. Even the giants didn't bother them. They were zeichet to Nisim Guluyim. Wherever they went, there was a Levaya. Why was there a Levaya? Because Hashem made the mayor or the governor die, so that everybody should be targeted with giving them their honor, and the mayor, they'd be Mesiyah Das. They wouldn't have their minds on the Meraglim. If they would have looked at this situation with the proper perspective, they'd see the Yad Hashem in every single step of the way. And they'd learn from this that the same way Hashem is with them now, when they come and conquer Eretz Yisrael from the Kanani, Hashem will be with them again. He's not going to forsake them. What did they actually do? They looked at it with an iron raw, and everything that Hashem meant l'tayva, they mamish meant l'abam. Oh, there's levayas everywhere. Eretz HaKel Sheshveha. They didn't realize that the levayas were made for their sake. And they came to the exact opposite conclusion. From these mayudik of fruits that they brought. Look at these fruits. They're strange, they're weird, they're so big. These are fruits for giants, this is not for us. You should have said, what happened? You should have said, ah, the rabbi, take a look at the chasadim. In this land, take a look what awaits you. They didn't say that. Conversely, by the miraglim that Yeshua sent, it was almost the exact opposite. The two miraglim came, they couldn't even get into the land itself. And they didn't spy the land itself. They came quietly, like miraglim that are afraid for their lives. They only reached the wall of a city. They lived in the house of Rachav Hazaina, who lived in the wall. She had an apartment in the wall. And they didn't budge from there because of pachad. There was guards all over. And in her house, they were in a massive of pachad. They were scared they're going to be discovered right away. Eventually, she brought them up to the roof, and she covered them with stalks of flax. And they were there quietly, and it was only afterwards when she saw that the coast was clear and that they could run away, they could escape. She said, run away. If that's the case, logic dictates they were in such a matzav of pachad. What they should have reported was, oh, the land is so well guarded. They have guards everywhere, and they're very much, you know, careful. Nobody should enter unless, you know, it's with their authorization. We're never going to be able to beat them. They're so aware of what's going on. And Lapak, that's not what they said. They said, they based their report on what they heard from Rachav. Rachav said, Shomanu es ha-shahivish Hashem, Hashem dried up the Yamsuf. V'nishma v'nomes levaveinu. And we heard and our hearts melted. They didn't look at their own personal fear and their own personal situation. They judged by what they heard from her what the situation is, that the Kananim are afraid of the Yidden coming. And that's why they gave over to Klal Yisrael this report. They were mechazik their hearts to come and enter the land with Bitachin, and they brought a Yeshua for Klal Yisrael. So Mamish, one is Mikotzer Lakotzer. The Meraglim of Moshe Rabbeinu experienced only Menucha, and they turned it into a terrible tragedy for themselves and for Klal Yisrael. Yet over here, the Meraglim that Yeshua sent out, they experienced Pachad, and Lehepach, they gave a good report. What's the pshat? Zokrum Kaskel Sarna, we learn a tremendous lemon from over here. It's not the situation that a person finds himself in that causes him to develop his outlook. It's the heart within him, the way he perceives things, that is what's governing the outlook. It could be that a fellow lives a life where he's handed lemon, and he should be walking around with a sour disposition, and a lehepach. His heart steers him in the right direction, and he turns lemons into lemonade. Those were the miraglim of Yeshua. And lehepach, he has people that are given a very easy life, and therefore their perspective on life should be good, and they walk around with a sour face against the tongue. What's the pshat? It's all totally in the heart. That's why the Torah over here says, do not go after your hearts. Your hearts can misguide you. Your hearts could be polluted with the wrong hashkafas. Your hearts could be polluted with gaiva. Your hearts could be polluted with negias. Do not allow your hearts to be your spy and to guide you. It'll destroy your world and the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and bring calamity to the rabbin. Because everything is totally in your heart. What's the age to have a good perspective? Look at the tzitzis. The tzitzis have the tcheles. The tcheles is daimed to the yam. The yam is daimed to rakia. The heavens are daimed to the kisei HaKavod. You're always in constant contact with Hashem. You're always conscious of what Hashem wants. That's a connection to Hashem. That is the way your heart's going to remain pure. So it comes out there's a gewaltige kesher between the miraglim of Moshe and this voice of Surah Achrei Levavchem. What steered the miraglim wrong? It was a heart that was polluted. Whatever negias they had, it misguided them and it clouded their whole vision. Not so the miraglim of Yeshua that came with a pure heart, and they were able to bring bracha to Klal Yisrael. They should make for themselves tzitzis. The Gemara in Sota Daf Yud Zayin says, "B'schar that Avraham Avinu said to the Melech Zedayim, 'Im yichud v'atzroich now, I don't want even a shoelace from you.' Zochu bon of l'shtei mitzvahs. His sons, his descendants, were zoicha to two mitzvahs. Chut shel tcheilas." The chut of tchelus or ritzur shel tefillin. I like to shelzach now on the tchelus part. What's the connection between tzitzis and from the fact that Avraham Avinu said imi chut? Because he said the word chut that automatically means tchelus and tzitzis. What's the pshat? I saw the sefer Yechi Ruvain, Hakoyin HaTzadik of Ruvain Karelenstein, Zeke Tzadik Levrache. He brings down a Ramchal in the sefer Derech Hashem. Chal says that the deep Indian of the tzitzis is we wear our tzitzis as a sign. We are designated to our Bayrei Yoylam like an Eved to his master. Just like an Eved wears a certain uniform, or an Eved has a certain siman on himself, that he is the servant of this master. Wearing tzitzis is Mechlal Kabbalah Zom Al Chushamayim, and that is the siman with the tcheilas that we are Avodim of Hashem. Taisus and Menachas Daf Mem Gimel Amid Beis that says Rahatzitzis Meir Al Yisrael Sheim Avde Hakadosh Baruch says the same thing. Now it comes out that by us wearing our tzitzis, we're being mefarsim the fact that we are Avodim of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and that's a ribui of Kavod Shemayim. Dr. Yechi Ruvain, that's the Mida Keneged Mida. Why did Avraham Avinu say Michut Vatzreich Now? He did not want the Melech's Daim to say I made Avraham rich. He wanted only Kavod Shamayim. My panasa comes from Hashem. My riches come from Hashem. I don't want to minimize that Kavod Shamayim in the slightest. Oh, this was that was his tachlis in the Bria. And he was willing to forego riches to be marbe Kavod Shamayim. Mida keneged mida, his children were zeicha to tzitzis, which adarabah is marbe Kavod Shamayim. It shows how meshubed we are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thus is the mida keneged mida. Have a good Shabbos, everybody. Zayis Gezunder Stark.